Chapter 21, Reuben. Reuben arrived home from school at 4:15. Trevor knocked on his door at 4:30. "Where is Miss Liza?"
"In the kitchen eating. I just fed her."
"Is that why you came by, Trevor? To see the cat? Or did you want to discuss something?"
"That second thing." Reuben stepped back and swung the door wide. Trevor came in and perched on the couch. "If you don't mind." Of course he minded, considering the possible topics.
"Of course not, Trevor. You know you're always welcome here."
Miss Liza came running in from the kitchen and jumped on Trevor's lap.
"Wow! She must have heard my voice, huh?"
"You should be flattered, Trevor. You're more important to her than food."
While he small-talked, Reuben nursed a sinking feeling in his chest, familiar but more pronounced than usual. He thought he would still have Trevor, could always be friends with Trevor, but it hadn't worked out quite that way. It hurt to have the boy around, and Trevor seemed to notice. Trevor's once daily trips to Reuben's house had dwindled. The last time, he'd claimed he'd only come to visit the cat, and he hadn't stayed long.
"What's on your mind, Trevor?"
"I was just wondering if you were still going to pay it forward. I guess you don't exactly have to, the way it worked out. I just thought maybe. I just wondered."
Reuben took a deep breath and sank into his chair. Sometimes when the urge to cry came around, and it did, it seemed to come behind both eyes like an ancient trace memory.
"I've thought about that, Trevor. I guess I still would if I could. I just don't know yet what I could do for anybody. I'm having a hard time with that."
"I know somebody who needs something."
"Is it someone I know?"
"Yeah, my mom."
"I'm sure your dad can help her, whatever it is."
"He's gone again. She told him to go. Besides, he couldn't have helped her with this. This is something nobody else could do except you."
Reuben's chest burned. She told him to go. Did that make everything better or worse?
"Look, Trevor, I really respect the work you did on that project, and I'm going to do my part to keep it going, sometime, with somebody. But the way things stand between your mother and me?"
"Yeah, that's what she said. She said you were upset, but I thought that makes it really good, you know, because it's supposed to be something big, you know, a big help. And if you help somebody you really want to help, then that's not very big, you know? But if you're all mad at my mom and you helped her, that would be a big thing."
His fingers scratched behind both of Miss Liza's ears, and she leaned in closer and purred, her eyes half closed. Reuben stood and walked to the window, needing to be as close as possible to somewhere else. As if through a long tunnel, he heard himself say,
"I'm sorry, Trevor. I'm not sure I'm a big enough man to do something like that."
Trevor's face twisted with disappointment. The cat jumped off his lap and ran back to the kitchen.
"Don't you even want to know what it is she needs?
Maybe it would be better if we just talked about something else."
Trevor shrugged.
"I got nothing else I want to say."
"Tell me more about what you said earlier. She said she told him to go."
He shrugged again. "Not much to tell. They kept fighting. A couple days ago, she told him to get out, and he did."
"I guess I'll go home now. I'll give you a ride."
"Nah, I got my bike out there. I don't mind. We'll put it on my bike rack,
I guess. I gotta go say goodbye to Miss Liza."
They rode to Arlene's house in silence. Why had he suggested driving the boy home? Reuben asked himself that question all the way there. And if he really didn't want to see her, and he really didn't, why hadn't he just let Trevor pedal home the way he always had? He wanted to ask Trevor if his mother was home or at work, just to prepare himself, but he couldn't quite bring himself to say the words. He pulled up across the street. Her car wasn't parked out front. A wash of relief and disappointment struck, wearing with Reuben as the unfortunate battleground. He cut the motor, and they sat quietly for a minute, listening to an odd, intermittent crashing sound, like a series of small car accidents. It seemed to be coming from nearby. "I wonder what that is," Reuben said absently. He didn't feel particularly motivated to drive away again. "I'll see." Trevor got out of the car, leaving the passenger door open, and walked a few paces. He stopped opposite his own driveway with his hands in his pocket. Then he came back and sat down in the car beside Reuben. "It's my mom. She's pounding the heck out of that truck with a baseball bat." A wave of cold numbness struck deep in Reuben's gut. His ears began to ring again, and this time he could hear his own blood rushing around in his head like the ocean in a conch shell. "I thought she wasn't home." "No, she's home. Her car's not here. It broke down. Now she has to take a bus to work. I think that's why she's all mad at that truck. She still has to pay for it. And now she's got to take a bus to two jobs. She had to go back to the Laser Lounge nights."
"Since she threw your dad out?"
"No, all along. He never really made much money or anything." The ugly metallic sounds of her pounding punctuated their words and their silences. "That's my baseball bat, too. Man, that thing's never gonna be the same. I wish I could do that," Reuben thought. It made him feel itchy and explosive, feeling how much he had to vent. "Did you want me to get her a new car? Is that it?" "No, that wasn't it." "You wanted me to give her rides home from work at 3 a.m? I guess that is a dangerous time to ride the bus."
"I don't think the bus has even run that late."
"No, Harry the waiter drives her home." Pound, pound. Always the give of metal. No breaking glass. Reuben tried to remember if the truck still even had glass. "What then?"
"What then?"
Trevor seemed distracted by the noise, too.
"What does your mother need that only I can do?"
"For you to give her another chance. She knows she really messed up. She knows that now. She does that a lot, you know, like sees a good thing and a bad thing and takes the bad one. She's not dumb. She knows."
"I don't know why she does it if she knows. It's just this thing she does. She says you'll never forgive her.
But I figured, well, you could. It would be a really big thing, but you could. If you wanted to do a really big thing for somebody. I mean, I remember you asked me once how you do something really big like that. Remember? And I said, well, you just look around and find somebody who needs something. So she does. Need something. I just thought you'd want to know." The interior of the car rang with the absence of words. The pounding continued outside. Reuben could hear Trevor's breathing. He wanted to hug the boy because he missed him, but nothing moved.
"I'm sorry, Trevor. I can't."
"Okay. I'm sorry."
"Okay. She said you'd say that."
"You talked about this with her?"
"Not exactly. She just said you were upset and you wouldn't ever forgive her. But I said she could ask, but she won't, 'cause she knows you'll just say no. So I asked."
"I'm sorry, Trevor."
"Okay, whatever."
The pounding stopped suddenly. The unfamiliar silence felt strange and stunning. Trevor got out of the car without saying goodbye. He took his bike down and walked it across the street. Reuben waited and watched until Trevor closed the front door behind him. He started up the engine. As he cruised by the mouth of the driveway, he braked slightly. He didn't tell his foot to do that, but it did. Arlene stood with the bat on her shoulder, panting and sweaty. She looked up and saw him immediately. The bat clattered onto the driveway. Reuben pushed the accelerator to the floor. The little engine sagged, then picked up. In his rearview mirror, he saw her standing in the middle of the street. He heard her shout his name, "Reuben! Reuben, wait!" He swung around a corner, though it would have been more direct to go straight.